As we move from urgency to importance, we encounter the fundamental question at hand. What are first things, and how do we put them first in our lives? The authors begin this section by introducing the four human needs and capacities and how to fulfill them based on principles.
The subtitle, as indicated on the title page of the First Things First book, is called To Live, To Love, To Learn, To Leave a Legacy. Those are words which symbolize the four basic areas of life. To live would be the area of life alone, of just existing, of surviving. It has to do with our physical well-being. It has to do with our economic well-being, because in a world where money is the means of exchange, we need economic sustenance in order to maintain our life and that of our loved ones we are responsible for. To love has to do with our relationships. That's the social dimension. The quality of our relationships with each other. Accepting, being accepted, belonging, be part of a culture, part of a feeling that there is in us and in our relationship something that is precious to us, that we want to nurture and keep strong. To learn has to do with our mind. We barely tap the capacities of our mind. It's estimated by psychologists that we barely tap 10% of our capabilities. To be able to identify what those are, to develop them, to utilize them, and to be recognized for that, it's all part of a mental need we call, in the short two-word symbol, to learn. To leave a legacy basically is the spiritual dimension. It means that we contribute. We make a difference. We add value. That means that we are participants in life and that we aren't just consumers and takers. We're givers. We leave a legacy. We matter. Our life matters. And we're interested in our children and the legacy which they leave. So you can see the four dimensions there. The physical, the social, the mental, the spiritual. You'll find that throughout almost all the great literature, the great religions, the great philosophy, the great psychology, which has had enduring value. In other words, the classic literature, they're always dealing with the same four dimensions. Different words are used to symbolize these four dimensions, but they're always present. You know, I think our bodies are the most powerful teaching instruments we have. Think about the body. We always have it with us. We can see the effects upon it by the way that we live our lives. And the bottom line of what I am driving toward is this. We can control our body. We can control its actions. But you know what? We cannot control the consequences of those actions. If we don't exercise and choose to take a flaky, pleasurable lifestyle instead, and want to maintain health and vitality as the consequence we desire, we can't. If we eat terribly, if we violate our body over and over again through massive junk food binges, if we try to take this approach over and over and over again, we have to live with the consequences of it. It's not our value system which produces the consequences at all. It's natural laws. It's principles. In the last analysis, we are not in control. So can you see the fundamental problem with the control paradigm? We are not in control. Take again the body. What have we learned about all these diet programs? What is coming to the consciousness of society today about the diet programs, these crash diet programs? Yeah, we can lose some weight. How many of us have tried to lose weight? How many have tried to lose weight 100 times? What have we learned? The diet programs are part of the problem itself. Why? Because in the short run, they seem to work. You can lose some weight. You feel good. You've lost some water weight. The rest of the weight is half muscle and half fat. But you're feeling good, you know. But then natural laws outsmart the best intentions of the mind. The metabolism system slows down. You lose less and less, and you're eating less and less. The body is fighting to preserve its fat stores. Gradually, we go back to the old way, even get worse than we were before. We come back, and then we go into a yo-yo program again and then try another one. What is it we're fundamentally learning? Lifestyle has to be changed. We have to align lifestyle with natural law. That's it. Does that mean re-educating our palate? Absolutely it does. Does that mean being active and exercising vigorously on a regular basis? Absolutely it does. Now what's that? That's lifestyle change. I don't want to do lifestyle change. None of us want to do. But if we don't, we have to live with the consequences. I want to carry out my own value system. I want to take this pleasurable value system and live it through. But what happens? The consequences are governed not by my value system, but by natural law, or what we call principles, symbolized by the compass. Why the compass? Because magnetic north drives it. No matter where you are, it'll always go to the same direction. Principles, not values, govern. So we have to begin to move to a paradigm based on principles, not values, not what we want. We must focus upon what we want in terms of long-term consequences and then understand the natural laws that govern that. The issue is not one of arrogance. The issue is one of obedience. That's why humility is the mother of all virtues. Humility says, I am not in control. Natural laws control. Principles control. Humility says, bend, submit, obey, align. Humility says, take your lifestyle, your habits, and align them with natural laws, with principles, because ultimately they will govern anyway. Be aware of that. Arrogance says, no, it's what I want. I am a law unto myself. I'm the one in charge. I decide my value system. I base my goals based upon that value system. I plan them long-term, intermediate, short-term. I organize my everyday accordingly, and I carry it out. That's what arrogance says. The humility of principles says principles control. Now, I want to build my values, my habits, my goals around principles. That is an altogether different approach. And this approach is not one of efficiency and control. It's not based upon the thing paradigm. It comes out of a deep people paradigm. I ask audiences all over the world, how many crammed in school? Almost everyone raises their hand. How many got pretty good at it? Almost everyone raises their hand. Then I ask, how many have ever worked on a farm? A smaller percentage raise their hand. And then I ask those people, how many of you crammed on a farm? And they laugh. They instantly laugh. It's ludicrous. They know that. You can't violate natural law on a farm. But why does it work in school? Why does it work in school? And they say it works. They raise their hand when they said, how many got good at it? It worked, in other words. You know why it works in school? Because school is a social system. It's based on social rules, social values. A farm is a natural system. It is based on natural laws, on principles. But really, did it work in school? No. Why? Because the mind is a farm. You can get a degree, but not necessarily an education. We all know that. You can psych out the system. You can read the tea leaves. You can study the ropes. You can learn the game. You can figure out the way to do it, but eventually the hens come home to roost. Why? Because principles or natural laws govern, not values. That is such a fundamental difference between the fourth generation of time management that we are representing here and the other three generations. The fourth generation, I suggest, eliminates all of the weaknesses of the first three generations and retains all their strengths. A while back, I had the privilege of having lunch with an NFL coach, and I asked him, how do you know these big, hulking football players are really in shape when they come back to camp? He said, easily. We just give them a 12-minute run. He said, what we do, as soon as they come back, we take their pulse, they run as far as they can go, and we take their pulse again. That'll tell us like that whether they paid the price in the off-season in aerobic conditioning. In other words, there was an indicator that would immediately communicate the consequence of whether or not they have followed natural laws or principles, or whether they have followed, say, their pleasurable lifestyle desires, or just followed what they valued, what they want. We need to build our value system on principles. The body is such a powerful teaching instrument on this because just two nights ago, I was at a buffet, I was tired, I was fatigued, and I ate wrong. I knew better. I violated my conscience. And I live with the consequence that night. I don't sleep as well. And when I don't sleep as well, I find when I am giving long presentations that last an entire day, in the afternoon, I feel the consequence of it. I try to kind of hunker down and make it happen, but there are consequences. I know in my undergraduate career, I crammed. I was really good at it, too. There was a whole value system among my friends and my fraternity brothers on how to really psych the thing out so we could get top grades with very little effort. And at that time, I thought it was really clever. I didn't do dishonest things, but I just crammed. I just learned to figure out the system and how the teacher tests and how to give your energies to passing tests. See, my focus was not on learning. It wasn't really on developing an educated mind. My focus was on getting good grades and getting the social rewards of this educational system, which rewarded getting the degree and being able to use that degree to open up other doors of opportunity. But the problem is, when I got into my graduate program, I moved to the major leagues. I spent the first few months just cramming like crazy to make up for 4 years of undergraduate cramming. I got ulcerated colitis. I ended up in a hospital. I've gone through the consequence of not paying a sufficiently deep price in my college education through my whole life. I've done many things to try to compensate, but oh, what a price I've had to pay. If you don't pay the price initially, you will pay the price eventually. Why? Natural laws, principles govern. Now, this is one tough learning, because most of us are trying to build our lives around our values. And to be challenged to say, that's good, but build your values around principles which are external to self, which can become internalized by properly educating and obeying your conscience, that is a different way of thinking. That is the essence of the fourth generation.